sometimes things don't go the way you expect them to go. And sometimes everything seems to go south all at one time. But that's okay, because it all works out in the end. And why is that? Because He is risen. There are no greater words in the English language than for us to be able to proclaim He is risen. Wow, what a powerful statement for us to be able to make. And what a glorious thing for us to be able to declare. This morning, as we look at John's Gospel, John chapter 20. Let's see if I have glasses up here to be able to read this with. John chapter 20, we're looking at the first 18 verses of John's Gospel. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been rolled away. So she ran and went to Simon Peter, the other disciple, and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw that the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and he believed. For as yet they had not understood that the scriptures, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look in into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of our Lord and Savior. Thanks be to God. As we look at God's Word this morning, we see the story that we all know so well. On resurrection morning, there was at least one woman. In John's account, it specifically was Mary of Magdala. In others, there were some others who may have been joining her. And when he had been buried on the third day, they went early in the morning. They couldn't do it the previous day because it was the Sabbath and nothing could be done, no work could be done on that Sabbath. And on their way, on that day, they, when Mary got there, she found that the tomb, of course, had been opened, and there was no Jesus in there. She didn't find what she expected to find when she went seeking Jesus. There was much grief among the disciples at this time. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't understand. And until they finally saw some evidence, they would not be able to understand. But when they found the evidence of Jesus, the real Jesus, their lives were changed forever. I'd like for us to examine their story a little bit this morning. What do you find in an empty tomb is what I would like for us to think about. One of the last scenes on Good Friday is that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus cared for the body of Jesus. They took him down from the cross after he had died, and they wrapped him, and they hurriedly took him to Joseph's unused tomb, freshly hewn. And then early on Sunday morning, Mary went to the tomb. And when she arrived, she noticed that the stone being rolled away, she didn't know what was going on, and she thought maybe it was the enemies of Christ that had come and had taken his body and rolled the stone away. In response to this revelation to her, she ran to tell Peter and John what had happened. And of course, they ran to the tomb themselves to see what was going on. And you heard it from the gospel account itself. John, being younger, reached the tomb first, and Peter, arriving, runs straight into the tomb, as was Peter's demeanor. And there they both saw the cloths that had wrapped his body, and particularly the head cloth, folded separately from everything else. And as they saw that, they understood that Jesus was not there. John says on his own account that when he went in and saw, he believed. He knew that it was not somebody who had come and taken his body away, but that Jesus himself was alive. That's the testimony that John gives us in his gospel account. However, before the day was over, Peter and John, Mary, and the rest of the disciples would learn that there was much more than just an empty tomb that they were looking at. What they found brought a great transformation into their lives. And in the same way, there are changes that we can find today in an empty tomb. And I would invite you to come with me as we explore an empty tomb this morning to see what we can find as we look at that empty tomb. The first thing that I would point to that we would find in an empty tomb is evidence. There's evidence there. The followers of Christ found more than just that empty grave, and the evidence that was, in fact, proof of who Jesus was. His body was not lying there anymore. The angry crowd had rejected Jesus as king. The Jewish leaders had refused to acknowledge him as God's Messiah. And Judas had betrayed him because he didn't understand who Jesus really was. But the doubters and the enemies of Christ were proved wrong when there was an empty tomb. The empty tomb was filled with evidence that Christ was indeed the promised one, the one that they had looked for and anticipated. This world is filled with skeptics. Multitudes doubt that Jesus is the source of salvation. But the empty tomb is proof that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and that no one can get to the Father except through him. Praise his name. Throughout history, there have been many religious leaders who have come and gone, They have died, and we can go to a place and see where they're buried. If you were to dig up, you would find evidence that someone is there. But the evidence we find in an empty tomb is that there is no body, and that it was nobody produced at all. And that means that there was nobody to be produced, because Jesus himself had taken up his life, and he lived in a glorified body, and he was changed. But not only was he changed, the disciples too were changed. You see, Jesus had gone through the process. He had given himself up as our sacrifice. Peter calls it our propitiation. He had given himself up for our sins. He had faced the cross, climbed up on it, and died in our behalf. And then, on that third day, he come out of that tomb under his own power, by his own authority. He lives forevermore now. He rose from the grave, and he's still alive today. That empty tomb is proof of that fact. And again, the empty tomb is filled with evidence for us. And if you look at that empty tomb, you'll find that it also contains other evidence, like assurance. Matthew 28:5 tells us, said that the angel said to the women in Matthew's gospel, there were more than one woman there. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you have come to seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay." And then if we look at Luke's account of this same thing, in Luke's account, the angel says, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" An empty tomb brings assurance that the followers of Christ will also follow in his footsteps, that we too will know life after the grave. If Jesus had the power to conquer death for himself, that means that we can trust him in every single promise that he gave. If he was the great equalizer and the one that destroyed the fear that mankind has always had of death, the great leveler, then he is trustworthy for us to put our full trust in him for everything. We can trust that we have been forgiven. We can trust that our sin debt has been paid and paid in full. And we can trust that we have everlasting life and the hope of a home in heaven. Because of the resurrection, we can rest in Jesus' promises and hear the answer to our prayers. Because that tomb is empty, we can rest in the promise that he will never leave us or forsake us. Because our Savior has risen from the grave, we are assured of our relationship with God, the security of our salvation, and the promise that no one, no how, could ever pluck us from our Master's hand, because he is the Almighty. No matter what troubles or struggles or trials we may face, Jesus is always with us, and he will never depart us. You see, we know because the grave is empty that our Lord is in control. Amen. We're able to possess the great assurance because of his marvelous resurrection. If he cannot conquer the grave, if he can conquer the grave, he can conquer anything that challenges us. Any despair, anything that comes into our lives, he can conquer, and we can face because of him. This leads us to the reality that when you look inside that empty tomb, you will see that it also contains hope. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:20, he said, "Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." In that same chapter, Paul writes, "If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain. Our faith is in vain. We are still lost in our sins. And those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If that tomb had not been empty, that would be the condition of all people on this earth. It would be unchanged from the time of the Old Testament and the Old Covenant. But Jesus brings a new covenant, and he stamps that new covenant complete as he rose from the dead, and we go and find an empty tomb. Yes, there's hope in that empty tomb. And in that hope, we know a Savior. And because he lives, we can have that great hope because he is risen. In because of it, we have hope of a reunion with him someday. And as we possess the hope of our own future resurrection, and we have the hope of a new body, the promise of eternal life, and a home that is in heaven. The reason that we possess such hope and assurance is because of Christ's victory. Victory over death, victory over Satan, victory over everything that challenges us. And that is the very next thing that we find in this empty tomb, victory. Jesus said in Revelation 1, 17 and 18, he says, "Fear not, I am the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys to hell and to death." Jesus conquered death, and he came that we might have everlasting life, that we might know life in abundance and have relationship with the Father, just as he has relationship with the eternal Father. And since he has those keys to hell and death, and he has come and he's given his life for us, we should celebrate. He has already invited us into his presence. He has already made way for us to be with him where he is, just as he told his disciples before he gave himself up for us. You see, he laid his own life down as a sacrifice for you and I, that we might have life and that we might have it eternal. He has destroyed Satan's power over us. That is victory. No longer should we be afraid of anything that Satan can throw at us. And that doesn't mean that we're arrogant and that we take him for granted. We need to be on our P's and Q's and be ready to stand on God's word when he accuses. But we need not fear, because Jesus has conquered the fear. In Hebrews chapter 2 at verse 14, Jesus himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. Yes, when we look into an empty tomb, we possess victory. When Peter and John went into that empty tomb, they entered into the victory because they realized that Jesus was living, that he had been raised from the dead, and that he was the victor and victorious over death. And we are victorious through him. As we have our being in him, and we count on him and put our trust in him, we too are victorious. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, "Thanks be to God who gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have access to this victory, and that access runs through an empty tomb where we too will find victory. But with victory comes responsibility. And that responsibility is the next thing that we find when we look into an empty tomb. Jesus comforted Mary at the tomb, but then he also had something for her to do. He said, "Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father." Go to my God and your God. He told her, go and tell. And through her, he tells each one of us, go and tell. Go and tell that there was an empty tomb. Go and tell that you have found victory. Go and tell that you have found hope, that there is evidence that Jesus is real and that he is living and that it is available to every person, the victory that he offers. Go and tell was what Jesus told Mary in John chapter 20. And we too have that great responsibility to go and tell. And the Gospels show that everyone who encountered the risen Christ was changed. We too have been changed. As we have encountered Christ, he has worked miraculously in our lives to give us hope that we can count on, hope that we can hold on to, love that we can know, and joy in living that no despair can crush out of us. Those are things that we are to go and to tell. Those are the things that we are to bear witness to. Up until they saw the risen Savior, the disciples were discouraged, confused, hiding in fear. But after the resurrection, they became the kind of bold witnesses that turned the whole world to Jesus Christ. They were so transformed by the resurrection that they were willing to suffer greatly, even to death, to be an example of what Jesus had been an example to them. To spread the good news, to share the gospel message, to bring people to life abundantly. Before I close, I'd like to take one more look inside that empty tomb that we have before us this morning, because there is one more thing in there that we cannot miss. If you look closely in that empty tomb, you will see salvation. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But in fact, Jesus has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Through his resurrection, Jesus broke the power of sin, broke the power of death, broke the power that hell would hold over us, and completely destroyed the best weapon that Satan has ever had in causing fear in our lives. Jesus, in his resurrection, confirmed that God accepted his sacrifice and our sins are forgiven. No matter that we are unworthy, no matter that we have failed him, he is still our Savior. He loves us. And his love never fails. Each of us needs a Savior because sin separates us from God. And only a Savior can bring us back to God. We are in desperate need of redemption. And the only way for us to receive that redemption is through Jesus and the sacrifice that he has made on our behalf. It is our privilege to be washed in the precious blood of Jesus. Colossians 1:14 says, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Folks, I want to tell you, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you've been or what has happened to you, the salvation that is seen inside that empty tomb is for you. Praise God, it is for me. It's available to everyone. Romans 3:23 tells us that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But he has loved us anyway, folks. And he reaches out to us and he speaks to us and he calls us. And he gave up his life for us in our fallen state. He loves us. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin are death. Thankfully, our debt is paid. Paid in full. so that there is no death. There is no separation for us from God. Yes, there's lots to see in an empty tomb. You just have to look. You just have to close your eyes sometime and feel what God is doing in your life. You see, that empty tomb is with us always because we carry Christ with us. We look forward to a time when we live in His direct presence, when He is the Son of our world, and we are invited to make Him the Son of our world today. We are invited to be His without question, without apology, or without blemish. And He would guide us. And so this morning, this Easter morning, as we look at the reality of an empty tomb, as we explore what it means for us, I challenge you, church, to answer God's call on your life. To give over to Him all that you have and all that you are, to be His. Because in doing so, there's an untold number of people around you, maybe your loved ones, maybe your neighbors, who themselves will be changed by this gospel message, who themselves may know everlasting life and may not otherwise know it, but for your testimony. Yes, the tomb is empty. And there's never been a greater story that anybody's ever told. Praise be His name. That's our story. And it's our story to tell. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.